Let's turn into the book of Romans chapter 13. Book of Romans chapter 13. And I read to you verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. These are the words of Apostle Paul to the believers who were in Rome. And this was part of an invitation to them against spiritual slothfulness, which we considered last week in verse 11. So we are continuing with the same theme. So this will be part 2, watching against spiritual slothfulness or spiritual idleness. And when we talk of spiritual slothfulness or idleness, this is a condition where a true believer, through weakness of faith, becomes relaxed about spiritual duties, becomes less concerned about spiritual duties. And indeed, it's a sad state to be, and a dangerous state also, because this gives advantage to our spiritual enemies, Satan, sin, Satan, and the world. So, when we come to this state, indeed, they work this sin, Satan, and the world. For them, they are always alive, working to rob believers of peace, comfort, and joy in the Lord. So that while we fall into that condition, they, our enemies, spiritual enemies, are not, will never stop working. They will continue to work and becomes a dangerous ground for us. So it's always useful to reflect on how we can stand against these things and actually to think of the Christian life itself, how it is, and to remind ourselves how we ought to be zealous in spiritual matters to keep our stand in the Lord. So those of us here who are believers, there is always a need to watch against spiritual idleness or sloth in order to be unwavering in the confidence which we have in Christ. We can never be sure of our confidence until we are ever alive in our spiritual duties. We are ever praying, ever learning the word, ever meditating, ever giving ourselves to service, ever standing against everything that will lead us to sin, never watching out. These are the only things that will help us to be unshakable in the confidence we have in Christ. Because our spiritual life is not something that is static, it ought to grow. And if it is not decided to grow, it will come down. So we are thinking about the first part of the text, and it says that the night is far spent, the day is at hand. As I said, the words of Apostle Paul, last time we looked at verse 11, and he seemed to exhort believers by these two verses, and as I said, to spiritual zealousness and all that. So say the night is far spent, the day is at hand. The night, by the night, Apostle Paul refers here to the Christian life in this present world. The Christian life in this present world. So it's like speaking figuratively about the life of believers in this world. The Christian life here is compared to the night because it is attended with many imperfections and trials. There's so much that attends to it. Imperfection in our own selves and the trials that assails us. There are many imperfections in our understanding. It is true we have been illuminated, we are believers. The day we got converted, we were enlightened, that we are able to understand the truth of God, the scriptures. We are able to read them and listen to the truth and be moved by them. But yet, we are still, there's so much imperfection in our understanding. We have many things to continue to constantly to learn. And in this world, believers are not able to constantly confide in the promises and the providential dealings of God. And this is one of the things that really makes the Christian life something that is joyful, to be able to confide in the promises of God and also to really understand His providential dealing and submit your wills to Him. That is one of the major things which unbelievers are ignorant of, and even if they hear it, they don't really trust it or try to put their faith in them. To confide in the promise of God and to also confide in the providential dealings of God, that God is just and that He always do right, and that all that He does is right, righteous, is right. And also that all that He has promised is faithful to do, and that to be constantly confiding in this, it is what we ought to do. But we know that sometimes doubt and fears robs us of the comfort we ought to derive from these things. The doubt sometimes assails us, fears our life, our troubles, and as if the Lord will not help us, as if the Lord will not be with us, as if the words, sometimes we read them and we are unable to draw so much comfort. Doubt and fears, because we have been challenged by other things which maybe we think they are so heavy that we cannot go through. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, here, Paul says that, "For now we see through a glass darkly, our understanding, our view of things, yet we have a measure of understanding because we have come to the truth and we are growing in it. And still, our understanding of spiritual things is still not perfect in this side we are." So constantly, we are in need of enlightenment. We are in need of, remember, Apostle Paul in the vision will pray for the believer that God to enlighten them to be able to realize the blessings, the blessings of heaven, blessings of grace which He has in store for us. That God to enlighten them to really come to have more understanding. In Colossians, we pray the same thing for them, that the God should let them be enlightened more about the things that the Word of God teaches concerning the blessings of salvation. So the same, it tells us that we are not free from perfection. We are still growing. We are still growing in that, so that in the way we are in the night, as Apostle Paul says, the night. Again, in this world, the length, breadth, depth, and height of the blessings of God's grace through Christ cannot be fully discovered. Yes, we have been given so much to cheer us, but how to really grasp this and have full discovery in this world, we cannot. Why? We live in this body, we live in this world, and that we are still imperfect. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it hath not yet appeared what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Yes, how we shall be, we don't know, but we trust that the Lord has promised that we shall be like Him. We still don't, we cannot even comprehend how believers will be at the day of Christ. We have been given many descriptions of it, but how the reality is, we don't know. So we still, we don't know. It does not appear what we shall be. We don't really know the reality, but we know that we shall be like Him. We don't know how it will be like. So we see that we are still not complete about and understand about all that is promised to us in Christ Jesus in this world. So like Apostle Paul, we must always cry that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, be made conformable unto His death. Philippians 3:10. That Apostle Paul saying that I may know Him, that means that I know Christ, is asking that I may know Him more.
enlightened, I'm more understanding that the knowledge of Christ should be increased for him. It's the words of Apostle Paul himself. I mean, the chief of apostles, the one who had so many revelations. He said that so he wants to know more of the Savior so that he can give himself to suffer for him. So that is the aspect of our life here on earth. And Apostle Paul says the night. Also, the Christian life here is compared to the night, because although Christ, the light of the world, will shine in the hearts of believers and also guide us by his word and spirit, yet the world in which we live in is evil. We have the light of the glorious gospel shining in our hearts. Christ himself, our dear Savior, our faith in him, we have the spiritual life, but we live in an evil world. We are not, out of darkness. We are not out of night. We live in the present evil world. Galatians 1:14, we are told, the present evil world. The world has darkness. There's evil in the world. The hopes, ambitions, pleasures, honors, and many others of this world are anti-God. These are the evil of the world. Not creatures or things we see, but the culture and the ideas, the motivation, the things that moves people in the world are anti-God. And this thing sometimes becomes a snare to believers. How that it is sometimes. They are little believers to become so to drip them from their constant and their steadfastness. You see, so that's the picture. It's because when you are in the night, sometimes you stumble. And when we have been lured and we have taken our eyes from Christ and the world and the things are really seem to charm us, it leads us to stray from our journey, our spiritual journey. Sometimes halt and it makes us not to grow, continue in that spiritual strength that we ought to. And it's a great program for us as we live in this world. It's constantly come. If we are true Christians, we always realize sometimes we are all affected by this. And then the world somehow lures us. The vanities of this world, sometimes the believer may be lured to pursue after gain of the world, to pursue after pleasures of this world, to pursue after advantages against the spiritual life. These are because we live in this world where these things tempt us. And sometimes the life's issue becomes like something that becomes so much important to us. And by these things, they are not there for nothing. They are all temptations. And it shows us that we are living in an evil place. Place where things that are not sinful may lead us to sin. Work itself is not sinful, but then we can be lured by some things about work to cause us to be disobedient to the Lord. And so, marriage is not sinful, but then my relationship can even cause us to disobey God, to be sinful. Many other things which are not even sinful, but because we live in this world where everything is against God, sometimes believers may be lured so that we pursue these things that are not sinful with the idea of the world, the vanities of the world, and then it becomes a snare to us. So may we never be lured by the vanities of this world. May we ever be conscious of the evil world we live in. That's one thing that which the common Christianity we find these days, many are not, trying to, or maybe, I don't know if they are not, or they don't learn, but it seems that the kind of Christianity that is common, that as if when we are saved, that is it. All that remains is how we live our life in this world. No. We are in an evil world. And immediately we are saved, we have a great battle to begin with. We have the Christian life is not something that we relax about. We have so much to do. So, May we always remember this, that we live in an evil world and fixtures the life, the Christian life, in this in darkness. Because we live in an evil world. We can, as we know, if we are in darkness, things mean traps and many things which we may not see. See around us, so that care has to be taken. And though we have the light of God's word that's guiding us, but as I said, we live in this body, we may be lured. And then we may seem to not hold on to this guide, and then we'll be led astray. Again, the Christian life here is compared to the ninth, because it is attended with trials of sufferings and afflictions. Trials of afflictions, sufferings. The Lord Jesus Christ himself told us what this the life of a Christian will be. In John chapter 16, verse 73, he says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." In the world, we shall have tribulation. Living the Christian life in this world, we will have tribulations, times of troubles. In Philippians 1:29, Apostle Paul reminds us that, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Suffering. Suffering pictures that dismal condition. And it is in this world that there are afflictions. The Christian is not left. We have our afflictions, we have our troubles, and it's a night for us. And it's the time of the Christian's life which things, as I said, there are so much perfection, and still there are trials, there are troubles that affect us. So may we always be mindful that the life of true Christians in this world is always attended with tribulations. There's always, and we should, it's like we are military men. That's how the Bible pictures us. We are church militants. And that's like the church militant, and meaning that the church on earth is in battle, in the battleground, you see. And we should never forget about it, that we are in the battleground. We are marching on, but then we are in the battleground. There are so much against us. I mean, all like the charismatic, when they look at the physical enemies, no, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We battle against sin. We battle against the power of sin, Satan, and the world. These are mighty powers, which without the work of grace in the heart, no one is able to overcome. So without salvation, without conversion, none is able to even be aware of these powers. See? But the believer becomes aware when we are converted. And then when we become aware, we put up a fight. We don't allow these things to suppress our joy in the Lord. Well, as I said, the Christian life in this world is always attended with many tribulations. Yet, anyway, our sufferings are not comparable to what our dear Savior suffered. You know, when he took our punishment for sin on the cross of Calvary, his suffering, ours is not comparable to that, you see. His was to atone for our sins, you see. He was without sin. But we know that even as we are converted, we still have this body, our remaining sins with us. So, that if we even suffer, we ourselves, there is sin in us, you see. Apart from the world attracting us, we have our own weaknesses. So, as we think of our Lord's own punishment, of suffering the punishment for sin, which is so great beyond ours, and yet we are also told that He Himself told us that in this world we shall have tribulations. So may we constantly keep in mind that this is there, that we suffer tribulations, so that they don't surprise us, you see. We should not be surprised when we are in trouble and we have to struggle. We have to struggle to overcome many things in our life so that we become obedient to the Lord. It is part of our life here. We are in the night, a time that there's gloom. It's not a time that we have perfect joy, perfect peace. Yes, we have this thing, but sometimes we don't experience them. Again, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So we have looked at the night. We have looked at the night, what it means. Yeah, the night, the life here on earth, the Christian life. Also by the day, Apostle implies that the day when the Lord shall come to glorify believers. The day of glorification. Let me read to you 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. Which scripture? The same thing. The day of glory. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. So 2 Thessalonians, 1 verse 10. Okay, let me start from verse 9. Who shall, that talking about the coming of this, although our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall be punished, coming to, bring punishment on rebellious people? Who shall punish with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you are believed that day. So, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, the day that Christ will come to be glorified in his saints. And it's a day that we shall find or have our final redemption, the day that Christ. The purchased possession, that the atoning sacrifice of Christ, and for us whom he died for, whom he has saved, and we are on earth, is the day that we shall enjoy final redemption. Our bodies will change. When we are converted, our bodies are still the same, though we have the power of the Spirit in us to suppress sin, and yet we know this body still have it. Old, as the Bible says, the old nature. But there will be a day when the Lord will finally redeem this body from corruption. So the entire church, both body and soul, will be completely without sin when that day comes. So that's the day Apostle Paul is making reference to here. That the day of final redemption. Let me also read to you Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Speaking of the same thing. Let me start from verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall deliver from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Bondage of corruption, that which sin has caused. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. To wait the redemption of our body. So, the day of redemption of our body. Believers, this body so afflicted with sin and all sorts of weaknesses will be redeemed finally, will be ransomed, will be free from sin. And to be that day, the day that Apostle Paul speaks of here. It will be that day. Again, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, we are told of that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. I think I've missed the verse. Chapter 3, 20. Let me see. I've missed the verse, but that one also was speaking about. That's okay. So it's we have here the day of redemption, and at that day there will be no more imperfection, both in the body and soul of believers, because the Lord will completely transform us to that of the heavenly. The soul and the body will be like that of the angel. That's what we have to add at the day of the resurrection, when the Lord will come, believers will be like the angels. Angels will have that angelic body, those holy angels, pure, We have pure natures, you see, both body and soul. And this will be an everlasting day of glory. And when this happens, there will be no more nights of doubts, fears, unbelief, sufferings, trials, and whatever affect us in our life here on earth. There will be nothing like that. And you know, Apostle Paul tells us that the night is far spent, the day is at hand. When this day has appeared, the Lord will usher in everlasting light and joy and peace, and that we will live forever with the Lord. And we know that the dwelling place of God, there is nothing like that night of darkness. It's all, as we are told, that day, the heaven, there's no night there. Meaning there's no suffering, there's no anything that is in connection with sin. There's no night in heaven. But as I said, in our life here on earth, we are walking in night. Though we are not in the night, but we are walking or traveling through the night. And our life here is compared to the night. Because of how many things that affect us, and how we are not in the full enjoyment of all the blessings of our redemption. We have the tokens, the Spirit is given to us, and we enjoy free communion with the Lord. We are able to seek for grace to serve and to be able to live the Christian life, but we don't have the full redemption, the blessings. We are redeemed, but we don't have the full blessings yet. Because we are still walking in this world, which is night, where there's imperfections, where we are still yet to be totally redeemed. But do you expect the Lord appearing? Are you expecting it? The day which Apostle Paul speaks here, do you constantly expect it? And are you aware also of that night of the Christian life? And you feel that you are walking in that night, because if we are genuine Christians, we will feel it. We will realize the difficulties of living godly in this world. We realize the troubles that assails us. We'll be conscious of them, and then we'll see how we are alive in the things of the Lord. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. So here, I mean, what he's trying to tell us is to encourage us, those of us who are true believers. The night is far spent. When we are saved and we live in this Christian life, it is temporal. We live temporarily in this world. So Apostle Paul compares this temporal living as if we live in this, because soon we shall live here. Indeed, we shall soon live here. So he said that the night is far spent. That day of the Christian's life, that part of the Christian life on earth, at any point in time, is far spent, because soon we shall pass over. And this, he says that the night is fast when the day is at hand. He says this to encourage us to be zealous in our spiritual duty. Why? Because we shall soon leave this temporal world. So that whatever we suffer now for Christ's sake shall come to an end. The night is fast when. Is it, are we struggling with sin? That we are we striving against? Or are we striving against temptations of the world? Or are we falling into doubt and fears? Or are we struggling? Those in the part of the world that have been persecuted, soon it shall end. Either by our departure out of this world to go and be with him, or his return to take his people home. And often until he comes, when a believer dies and leaves this world, he has left this dark night of the life of a Christian. That is why we say the glorious day, the death of a Christian, though we are sorrowful, but it's a blessed thing, because he lives this night of part of the Christian life. Who want to be in that state of trouble? See, every true Christian, that's what Paul will say, that for me to, it's better for him to be with the Lord than to live. Because he knew the struggle of the Christian life. And nobody wants to stay in that long. But the Lord will, it's by his will to keep us here or let us go and be with him. So when a believer comes to die, he passes out of this world, the night is over. The day is fast spent. Soon we shall all go, we shall all follow suit. See, the Lord does not come immediately. So he's saying this to encourage us that the night is fast spent, meaning that we are closer to live this ninth part of our Christian life. This part where we have so many imperfections, this part where we are beset with so much temptation, sin, the world, Satan, so much tribulation, it's fast spent for us because soon we shall live it. And then the day is at hand. The day when we shall be glorified, the Lord himself will glorify in his sins. The day of perfection is at hand to each and every believer. Because the Lord can come at any time, and I said that if he doesn't come, we shall soon leave this world. And then the day of glorification, we are moving on to meet it. But as I say, he said this as a way of encouragement, so that we will be so, because like, somebody who is like a pilgrim, he has a few days to probably live in a particular place, and maybe he has so much to do. What does he do? Quickly, he gets himself involved very quickly. All the time he wants to use it to, concerning how he's packing up and completing it to rush on. And that's how the picture here. The night is fast spent. Probably, he went to Norwich and an inn. The day is coming. It's over for him to begin his travel again. To move on to closer to his destination. That is how the picture is. The night is fast spent. So that this part of our Christian life is far, is already, the time is already out. And then, as I said, since the Lord has not come, then our departure out of this world will end this night of our life. See, Saint Paul is drawing to our mind that we don't have much time here to live. It is fast spent. Soon we shall all live here. There was a hymn I used to sing, listen to, and one of the songs said, "Oh, that will be glory for me. The day that you live and see the Savior, so that will be glory." You see? So that when we are saved, we are thinking of that glory, because we come to the position in life that the world doesn't really charm us, doesn't really delight us. Even the things that may lead us to sin, and later realize that this is just foolishness. There's nothing in it. The thing that the world calls happiness becomes nothing. It's empty for us, you see, because we are not those in the night who sleep in the night. Because though we are in this night, but we are not those of the night, you see. We are those who are traveling through this night. We don't have our feet. We don't have our bench, or we don't stand in the night. We don't have our seat there, but we are moving out of it, you see. So the night is fast spent, the day is at hand. So let us, you tell us what we should do, but I'm just adding, let us be zealous about this life and all that we are enjoying to do. Because soon, whatever concerns our life here will be ended. Soon there will be no time to work again. You know, the Lord just himself said that the night is coming when he cannot work. So it is a day he has to work while it is day. So he has to work while it is time for him. So the night, his death was coming where he cannot be in the world to do what he was doing. He himself passed through that because he came for us. Not for himself, he has to pass through to accomplish his work for us. Redemption. And here, when we are saved, we live here for a time, and it's night. It's not a day. It's a spiritual darkness.
which surround us. We have the light of Christ, but we ourselves are surrounded with it with all this. So, would that be glory for you too? The day that this night will be over, and then you will be ushered into glory, would that also be glory for you? Are you looking up to that day? You know, one of the things that really comforts us in times of trouble is so that we have a better place to go, a place where there is no pain, where there is no loss, sufferings, where there is disappointment. There's nothing like misery. So that if a believer suffers here, he has that hope that one day it will end. And as I said, until the Lord comes, it may end for us when we come to death. So death, we are not afraid of death. Death is a profit to the believer because it moves us closer to our blessing. It moves us closer to our blessing. The night is fast spent, the day is at hand. Also, this reminds us of the dangers which we are still exposed to while we await the approaching day of glory. Apostle was reminding us of our dangers. The night is fast spent, the day is at hand. There are things to be done, and there will be dangers around. And as we draw our mind that this time of difficulty and trouble is fast spent, and our glory is soon to appear, he's trying to remind us of the dangers that we are exposed to in this period where we are almost done with the world and pass on. There are dangers though as we approach the day of glory. We have the danger to conform to the world. In Romans chapter 12, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. That means the Christian may be tempted to conform to the world. While we await for this time, the Christian may not totally be taken by the world, but he may somehow have his ideas, his choices, and ambitions some affected with the world, ideas of the world. It's culture, see? So there are dangers. So he's reminding us, the night is fast spent, the day is at hand. Yet there are dangers in this waiting time. There's a danger to prioritize worldly things above that of the Lord. Relations, our jobs, and things that concern this life, a believer may be tempted to prioritize these things against the things of Christ in this time of our waiting, because we are still in the night. You see? So there's a danger. We have the danger of discouragement, you see, out of our own weaknesses, and also from other brothers or Christian others who are also quote unquote Christians. They may discourage us. We ourselves may be a discouragement to ourselves. And it's a danger because the time of waiting. There's also danger of complacency, as if we have done enough. As if, well, we have served the Lord enough. No. You see? Because we may have been doing the same thing for a long time, and we are still here so many years. Well, we have done enough for them. No. We can never do enough for the Lord. So long as He keeps us here, we should never feel satisfied with what we have done. Ever. We shouldn't be those who are saying, well, for the years ago, I was so blah, 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 but now, you know, the Christian life, the more we grow mature, the more we are, we serve the most. So there's a danger to be complacent in this waiting period where we'll be taken to be with the Lord. So because of these dangers, Apostle Paul instructs believers to watch against them so that the night of the Christian life will not cause us to be idle about spiritual duties. So that's the main warning of this text. It reminds us that the night is fast when the day is at hand. But why is it reminding us this danger? To feel, well, we're already saved. I remember years ago, we said, well, once saved, forever saved. So, well, it doesn't matter how the person lived the Christian life. Once saved, forever, he has confessed faith in Christ. Such a delusion. No, until we are active to the end, we cannot be sure that we are true. You see? In our physical life, how do we live? The person from infancy to old age, when he dies, the day he dies, he's no more.
But they, so long as the person is, you know, even in sickness, you want to be active about doing things, you'll be eating, doing things, even when the person is bedridden, you'll be doing things that those who lay do. The same way with the spiritual life. If we are truly spiritual, we have that new birth, we are born again, we will never feel idle. Sometimes we fall in part for a long time about spiritual, it's not possible. There's that life which motivates us. So you see, he's reminding us, and then he's instructing us to watch against the night of the Christian life, because, as I said, there's so much trouble in this time of life, and if we don't take care, it will cause us to be idle indeed. There's so many inconveniences in the world to really distract us to obey the Lord. There are so many inconveniences. So, how he wants us to watch, this will take us to the other part of the verse, so that listen, that's the instructions. So he says, the night is fast, spent, the day is at hand. Now look at this, so he says that, let us therefore cast off works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. In this time, that he said that the night is fast, spent. You see that? So he said that the night is fast, spent. Yet, there's something to be done. Let us, because in this period, we still have something to do, to keep active and alive. As I give the example, the pilgrim that is traveling, then it is time for him to leave. That's why he even becomes quick about packing up and trying to mop up things so that he doesn't leave anything behind. The same way, the night of the Christian life is fast spent, but we have so much to do, so the Lord come for us. So the first thing he tells us, how do we watch in this period of waiting, in periods we do walk in this night of the Christian life? First, like, cast off the work of darkness. You may ask, why is he telling believers to cast off the work of darkness? Because believers, as we say, we are in the light. As I said, we ask if we have this body with us, see, this body of sin, because we still live in, only that we have the power over it, and sin doesn't defile us. I mean, again, the God of God cleanses us from all sin, but yet, we are in this body. You see, the defilement of sin cannot cast us to heaven. We are in this body where the defilement of sin can bring us too much discomfort in the Christian life. So the first is to cast off the works of darkness. That is, believers must put away all sinful deeds. Simple as that. All works of darkness are sinful deeds. Whatever form it is. We don't categorize whatever form it is. All things that pleases the flesh and dishonor the Lord. Says cast them off. In this period that we are waiting to be ushered into the day of glory, everything we are to cast sinful should be put off. We have similar admonition in Hebrews chapter 12. You can turn to that, please. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. We are also admonished how we should let go of every known disobedience. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See how I say with patience the race we are ongoing, but with patience. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood striving against him. See, he compares that greater suffering of Christ to what we are to suffer here. You see, but he said that in as we run this Christian race and we are moving on, we should look unto our dear Savior, who really began that life in us, life of faith. Because he is our example, because when we look at him, who was the God of glory, for the joy of our salvation, was willing to suffer everything so that he will come and save us. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. The joy was to save us. It's not to do anything for himself, but to save us. See? So that because of the work of redemption, he laid down everything to come. And when he came also, he denied himself of everything and really went to the end of his time. So you see, as I said, he himself came to endure this night because he came to suffer. He came, though he was a God of glory, who is all glorious, yet he covered his glory to come and suffer for us. So, for us to be able to move on in this Christian life, we must cast off. To be able to watch and have the strength to watch, we must cast off. We must do away with everything sinful that we are surrounded with. Because we cannot, if this is not that, we cannot go on with the next instruction. Because it is the next instruction that gives us defense. If we are not putting the works of darkness, we cannot embrace the next thing. And whoever will claim to have this, the next one, without striving to cast off, to put any resistance against any known sin in life, is a liar. Because it's not possible. That happens. Let us therefore cast off with the works of darkness. Then he moves on to the next day. And let us put on the armor of light. You see? The armor of light is the Christian armor, which we have the list in Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Shall we? Let me see. What do you have to say? I think I read through. Let me read through. Just refresh our mind. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 18. We are commanded, or we are exhorted here, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the evil. Because we live in evil world. Satan, sin, the world against us. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that's the armor of light which we have been told here, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now he's going to list them to us. Because we are in a constant place where there's constant what? Evil times. That comes to us. But this is how we are able to stand against, watch and stand against. Stand the verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins get about with truth, and having all the breastplate of righteousness. Truth here has to be the truth, the gospel truth. The truth and the doctrines which we have. But that's what, I mean, something that the Christian become like something like that holds us. Because it's the truth that we stand on, that which binds us, which makes us who we are. So your loins, your like the hip, I mean, as the people like the soldier being dressed up. So that's which will make us firm. The gospel, our faith in the gospel itself, and the ongoing trust we have in it. So that the Christians and churches who have thrown away the gospel, they don't have anything to hold on to. If you throw away the gospel truth, the doctrines of the gospel, the various the truth which, I mean, really makes our faith strong in the Lord. If you throw them away, what do you have again? There's no Christian life. You see, the truth, well, we may also think of every truth of God, but subscribe for the gospel truth. You see, that's why churches that have lost the gospel, they have lost everything. If you lose the gospel, you have lost everything. And also having all the breastplate of righteousness, Christ's righteousness, which we are, I mean, which God justifies in us and gives us. So that this is like a breastplate. It's something that what covers us. It covers God, the righteous. We are covered by the righteousness of God. That is only means that the only grace that helps us to approach God. Without which we cannot approach Him. Our right, Christ, our righteousness. So He covers us. It is righteousness. So having on the breastplate of righteousness. So until we are true Christians, we cannot have this Christian armor. How do we have Christ's righteousness if we are not those who are entirely trusting Him? There are some who think to believe in Christ and other things. How can they have this breastplate of righteousness? They cannot. But true believers have it because they are Christ is their righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Again, the gospel of peace, because it's the message of reconciliation. It's through the gospel that we are reconciled to God. Again, as in connecting the truth, as we hold on to the gospel, it's that which, you know, when a soldier dressed up, he defeats. If he's not having the footwear, how can he move up and down? So we are shown the preparation of the gospel of peace. Then to that we easily walk in the things of the Lord. That God, we are already reconciled to God, and if He makes us ambassadors of peace, because believers, when we have embraced the gospel, we become at peace with God. And then what do? We become ambassadors of peace. So it's something that it also, but the gospel itself guards us against errors. You see, the truth of the gospel, as he told us, that having on the your loins get the Bible with truth. If you connect it to that gospel of peace, it has to do with the doctrines which we rest our hopes in, and we carry on with the Christian life with the truth of the gospel. See, the gospel of peace, and we ourselves become ambassadors of peace as we preach the gospel to others. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith. You see the importance of faith also here. How do we stand against all the lies of the devil and all the suggestions that are about against us? Except we have entire trust in what the Lord, the Word of God, have told us. Except we are entirely trusting the Lord, we cannot fight against the devil, because he's always throwing things in our mind and suggesting things against us. But if we are those who trust in the Lord and know that only He and what He has said is true, how do faith come? Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. And so that we have our entire trust in Him. Apart from saving faith, we are having that continual faith in Him, that only He is our wisdom. The devil cannot distract us. If we take heed, the Word of God alone, as our wisdom, and we put our faith in that, the devil cannot, whatever he throws against us, we are already guarded by the truth of God's word. It will not to fly over our head. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the sword, the Word of God. The helmet, salvation, again, it links up to the gospel. When we have a conversion, it's like a helmet, it's a protection. You know, helmets are worn by the soldiers in those days against, to protect the head. If the head is chopped off, so salvation is the thing, is the whole thing that the one who is putting on this Christian armor begins with. When we are saved, it is that which secures. We can never perish because our head is covered, and then we are held up. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of faith. How do we fight this Christian battle? When people oppose us with errors, how do we fight back? The word. How do we try to surmount against false teaching? How do we surmount against all false ideas of our spiritual life? The word of God. So that we should be those who are so versed with God's truth. We are those who are knowledgeable in the truth of God's word. Else, people suggest things and we are confused. Oh, it may be true. No, but if we are holding on the sword of the Spirit, meaning we are versed in the truth of God's word, no one can stand against us. Because you bring down every imagination down, and then our time is already gone. But then, this is, reminds us what it is. And we put the armor of light on by striving after the graces that are listed here. We put them on by striving after them, employing ourselves that we will use them in our daily life, in our walk in this world. And as we know, for believers, the Lord Jesus Christ has secured all provision for us, for our spiritual life. All that we need is to seek this thing from Him. It's my faith, Lord, help me with faith. Lord, I need. Is am I having less understanding of the scriptures? I pray to Him, and the last part is prayer, which I had not mentioned. But then, it's how do we secure all this in through prayer, and how do we continue them through prayer when we give ourselves to the Lord and we seek God? These things are there, but we need to daily seek them from Him to help us to begin to be able to fight. So He said that we should put on the armor of light. That is what it is, so that we can be able to, in this period that we are waiting to be ushered in the day of glory, be able to put up a fight against the dangers, the enemies that surround us, and that we'll be able to. If you look at our time is gone, but the next verse in this, I think verse 13, he speaks about, let us walk honestly as in the day, sincerity, not in rout and drunkenness, not in rebellions, that is not in partying and pleasures of the world, drunkenness, not in shambling and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Mention some of the things that we ought to cast away. And then verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the last thereof. So he says, casting off sin, putting on Christ, the same armor of life, the various graces Christ will give us. My time is already gone, but then let's remember that the Christian life is not a life of idleness. From the day the Lord saves anyone, the night of Christian life begins. From the day He's out of this world, we are not in that full enjoyment. It is night. So may we never feel secure about our walk with the Lord, so that it may cause us to indulge in spiritual sort of idleness. If we are okay, no, we are never okay until we get to heaven. In this world, we are never okay. So we have to continue to guard against sin and temptation to sin by always putting on the armor of light, guarding ourselves so that we can really guard against this spiritual stress.